writing a killer LinkedIn profile. This is Ellen Ingram, and also Carol Ross from Networking Naturally program is on the line. Do you want to say hello, Carol?
Hi, everyone.
And our guest tonight is Brenda Bernstein, and she is the essay expert. And I'll just read a little bio about her, and then we'll start interviewing for the interview for the first portion of the call, and then we'll start questions and answers afterwards. So Brenda Bernstein is the founder and senior editor of The Essay Expert. And she has a team of writers that work with her. Brenda holds a BA in English from Yale University and a JD from the NYU School of Law. She's trained by the Coaches Training Institute as a life coach and has 10 years' experience coaching individuals and companies on their writing projects. Brenda practiced law for 10 years in New York City and is now a JD career advisor at the University of Wisconsin Law School, Office of Career Services, as well as a writing coach and owner of the Essay Expert. Brenda's expertise lies not just in creating an effective product, but in listening closely to her clients' background and goals. And clients report that they gain clarity about themselves and their message, in addition to having that message expressed on the page. And one of the things that Brenda does is LinkedIn profiles. And I actually, do you want to say hello, Brenda?
Hello.
I actually met Brenda through networking. Someone had recommended her services in an email from a local networking group, and I clicked on her site, really liked what I saw, and I wrote her some feedback on her site, as I often do, to start a relationship, and she got right back to me, and we exchanged several emails and then scheduled a one-on-one networking call, and we've spoken how many times? 2 or 3 times, Brenda?
3 times, yeah.
And gotten to be friendly, and I asked her I asked her to do my profile and our elevator speech, and we're working on that. And so I asked if she wanted to interview for this for our Networking Naturally program. So that's brought us to tonight. And so I guess we'll just start the interview, and that will be the first portion of the call, and then we'll ask questions. So you can type in questions as we go, and we also have some already that people have sent in. And Carol will be jumping in if she has a great question or a pertinent question, and then we'll open the lines at the end. So the first thing I want to ask you, Brenda, is what would you say are the 3 most important things to do when you're filling out your LinkedIn profile?
Well, first of all, I sort of said hello earlier, but I want to thank you for inviting me onto the call, and it's great to be here. And
good to have you.
I've really been learning a lot about LinkedIn profiles since April, when I really started diving in and working on other people's LinkedIn profiles as well as my own. And what I have found, I have to narrow it down to 3 things, are in the number one thing is to be really clear about your goal. And I saw one of the questions that came in already is about that. Like, what if your goal changes, then what do you do? But it really, really is important to be clear. Like, this is why I have a LinkedIn profile up in the first place. Is it to find a job? Is it to get clients? Is it to impress your clients who you already have in your position? And depending on what that purpose is, the profile is going to look a particular way. And it's unique to each person what they really want to put out there. And that clarity extends also to being clear about who you are, what you have to offer in pursuit of that goal. So that would be number one. Number two would be be really clear about who you are versus who your company is. A lot of people kind of mix that up, and especially in the summary and sometimes in the experience blurbs as well. It's all mixed up about, are you talking about you or are you talking about your company? So keep those distinct. That would be another important thing. And then the third thing is just to do it right. So that means learn everything there is to know about LinkedIn. It's great that you guys are on this call so that you will learn some things to really enhance your profiles. Make sure that you don't have spelling and grammatical errors. You know, have everything look good, look consistent, and just take it seriously. Those would be my top three.
So what do you think is the biggest mistake that most people make in their LinkedIn profile?
I think the biggest mistake is that people sometimes don't take it as seriously as it's worth taking. You know, LinkedIn profiles nowadays are the place that people go to find out about who you are in the business networking world. It's just where people go, no question. I mean, there's some other places, but LinkedIn is a big one. So if you don't take your LinkedIn profile seriously, it might be better just not to have one there at all, because there's other people who are really doing a nice job on their profile. So within that, you know, if you're not taking it seriously, then you end up having a picture of your dog, you know, on your LinkedIn profile instead of a very professional picture of you, like in a nice suit and, you know, with your hair done. Nice, light, plain background, right?
Yeah.
So in each section, I could tell you the mistakes that people make, and if you want me to go through that, I can. I do have one blog entry on the 10 most common errors and omissions in LinkedIn profiles.
Yeah, I think that'd be helpful to go over.
Just go through those a little bit?
Yeah. What do you think, Carol?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Okay, so the one thing which I already mentioned is people make spelling errors and grammatical errors in their LinkedIn profiles. There's just no reason for that. You just have someone you know who's good at that stuff, read it over and make sure there's no problems. And that actually includes the recommendations. Don't just accept the recommendations that people send you, you know, replete with all their little quirks and errors. If the recommendation has errors in it, send it back to the person. I have never had anyone refuse to correct a recommendation. Of course, they expect me to edit it. Like, well, if they have absolutely no delusions that they're going to send me a recommendation, then I'm not going to edit. But people are really, really good about that, in part because it reflects well on them. You know, when they post a recommendation, it goes out to everyone in their network, as well as everyone, like if they're recommending me, goes out to everyone in my network, as well as their network.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yep.
So what do you say in the email when you, do you send it back to them via email?
Now, let me just clarify. The entire recommendation doesn't go out to everyone, but a little note saying, you know.
Oh, yes. An
John
update.
Smith recommended Brenda Bernstein. So if someone is like, oh, I know John Smith. Let me see what they're up to.
Yeah.
This is how networking works. I've gotten clients that way. Oh, John Smith liked her? Let me see what he has to say about her because I like John Smith.
Right.
So if he likes someone else, then maybe I'll like him too. You know? So the point is, don't be afraid of offending your recommenders by asking them to rewrite something.
So you just, can you say in the, can you give an example of how what you would say in the email when you send it back to them?
Well, there is a standard message that you can use that LinkedIn provides.
Okay.
It says, you know, please revise this recommendation.
Oh.
And you can just say, you know, I noticed that this was spelled wrong, so can you resubmit it? I mean, if someone said that to me, I'd be like, oh, no. You know, I'm first.
Yeah.
Or some people, well, this is the nice thing about having someone review your LinkedIn profile, because when people have me review their LinkedIn profile, part of what I do is go through every single recommendation and make corrections to them.
Can you edit them yourself?
No. You have to have the recommend. I mean, imagine what that would be like if you could edit a recommendation.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, you could say anything. Yeah. So, no, the people who wrote them need to actually approve it, but you can send them a suggested rewrite, which is how I would do it.
Okay.
So when people have me review their LinkedIn profiles, then they get to go to their recommenders and say, oh, I got an expert review of my LinkedIn profile, and she recommended.
Yes.
Could you? So that's a nice way to do it.
Right. I know that was a big discussion during the Networking Naturally program. It's like just actual steps in doing things that are a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
So what would be the next?
The next one, I mentioned the picture. So many pictures on
the screen. Oh, yeah.
They're like teeny tiny. They're blurry. They have busy backgrounds. They have the girlfriend, the dog. It just doesn't work. And, you wouldn't do that at a business networking event. Like when you go out live to a networking event, you show yourself in your best light. So why wouldn't you do that on LinkedIn?
Mm.
Not Facebook. It's not for your friends.
Right.
This is for business. So that's just, to me, like a no-brainer. The next thing is under the there's probably more things I can say that I didn't put in this particular article, which I can add.
Well, you can add them.
Yeah, so let me just go through this, and then I'll add some things. People don't realize that they can write vanity website names and public profile URLs. So instead of having your website say my company, my school, my blog, you can actually write what it is. So if you just click other,
you
get to type in the actual name of. So I could write, I could still write, mine just says the essay expert. .com, the SA Expert blog, the SA. So that's what I have on mine. If you want to make it clear that it's yours, and you can say my company, colon, and the name of your company, but a little more than just my company, because that doesn't say much. And then the same thing for your LinkedIn public profile URL, you can type in what you want it to say. So mine, the ending of it just says Brenda Bernstein. It doesn't have a bunch of numbers and letters mixed up at the end of it. If you have a common name and that name might be taken, you can do something like put a dash there or reverse your first and last names, or you know, you'll figure out something. Put your middle initial, your full middle name. You know, there's other ways to just play around with it if it's already taken.
So what about the public profile? Can you change that also?
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about.
Oh, I thought, what about website? When it says websites and then it has my portfolio, my blog?
Right, you can just click other.
Yeah. So that's all three of those you can do?
Yep.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. You don't have to use those choices either. You can put any websites up there that you want and name them anything that you want. Up to three of them. So is that clear?
Yes. Any questions? Anybody raising their hand?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. So those are the things that I do see on the profiles that don't work, you know?
Yeah.
So then the things that are missing from a lot of profiles. One is consistency. So people will write one work experience section in one way and then the next one in another way. Mm-hmm. And in one place they'll be in the third person and the other place they'll be in the first person. And it's just all kind of mixed up. So as a resume writer especially, consistency is king for me. So Like, use the same kind of bullets, use the same format. Start your bullets. If you're doing bullets, start them with verbs. If you're not doing bullets, don't do bullets. You know, it's okay to have bullets for your more recent ones and then not have them for anything that's really far away.
Mm-hmm.
But just keep your tense consistent and your format consistent. The other thing that's missing from a lot of profiles is recommendations at all.
Mm.
And I think recommendations are so important to have on your LinkedIn profile. And that's a change from, especially if, let's say, you're searching for a job. You know, normally the employer doesn't get to see your recommendations until they're interested enough in you to go to that step. So it's definitely kind of a sea change that now you do want to have your recommendations. And if you don't have any recommendations, it won't look good because it's so easy to get them and pretty much everyone's out there on LinkedIn. So go and ask people to recommend you.
If somebody recommends you, is it etiquette to recommend them back?
If you can.
Mm.
You know, when I work on someone's LinkedIn profile, I don't have any way of recommending them as an employee.
Right.
Or as a worker. But sometimes for them, they like getting some visibility on my website.
Mm-hmm.
Say, oh, can I get some free press by having my testimonial up on your website? So that's a little bit of an exchange.
Mm, yeah. Let's say I request like someone that reported to me to do a recommendation for me. And then when it comes in, it says, can you recommend the other person?
Right.
Is it etiquette to do so?
In that case, I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't value that employee, I would not ask them to recommend you.
Right. Any questions about that portion?
I have a question. This is Carol. Because I haven't actively sought recommendations, and part of it is I'm wondering if people get jaded by just seeing, you know, lists of recommendations and really almost like too many testimonials that don't have the impact anymore. I'm just curious about your thoughts on that.
My thoughts on that are that, sure, there might be some people who are in that frame of mind, but I can't imagine that any recruiter is going to, I mean, if they're in that frame of mind, then they don't even care and they won't read them. You know, if they're reading them, then they do care. So I would just get the recommendations. And the other part is, don't get recommendations that sound bland and like everyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get recommendations that actually speak, you know, and have a little color to them.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say that, I'm thinking, I wonder if my recommendations have that. And I try, you know. Everyone is probably now looking at my LinkedIn profile.
No, we're all looking at our own, Brenda.
my first one, for instance,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I engaged Brenda to review my LinkedIn profile. I thought she would give me some basic advice and suggest a few revisions. The engagement exceeded expectations. From her immediate reply to me here in China, the on-time turnaround, to her ability to understand my needs. You know, so, you know, it has a little, it's not like everyone else's. It's not,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, extraordinary. But, oh, wow, she responds to someone who's in China immediately. You know, that's pretty good. So I try to have everyone sound different. Yeah, I had a client recently. I was reviewing his LinkedIn profile. He purchased one of my $50 reviews, and I was reviewing the profile, and I was like, you know, the last line of these recommendations kind of sounds the same. And I wrote to him, I'm like, these kind of sound like the same person wrote them. I'm thinking, I think he wrote them. So there's danger in that. Don't do that. And and he wrote back to me. He's like, yeah, the same person did write them. I wrote them.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, sometimes that's okay because people are more – people often procrastinate writing recommendations. Like, if you don't do it right away, somehow it gets pushed to the bottom of the pile.
Right.
And it's much easier for people if you write something and they say, yeah, I would say that about you. So sometimes you do write things for people. And he did that, and I think it could be a problem for him if someone really took the time to read them. So that's a little, just a little caveat.
I asked for some from certain people that I interacted with a lot on Networking Naturally program, Carol. So you could do the same.
Mm-hmm.
For and I got some really nice ones. It was very gratifying. Mm-hmm. But I think, like you said, it's good. It's easier to do it as you go along in life, Brenda. I mean, ideally, rather than going back and asking people you worked with 15 years ago.
Yeah, and the ones from 15 years ago are not going to be as useful.
Mm.
It's more important to have them from the current jobs.
Oh, okay.
The more recent jobs. So if you have someone who's from 15 years ago who remembers you to that, the extent that they can write you a recommendation now and remember highlights of what you accomplished 15 years ago, then that does say something about you.
Hmm. Okay. What do you want to go on to the next one?
Sure. Let me find it again.
I'm finding this very helpful. I hope others are also.
Yeah, if anyone's not, just, you know, write in. So then a lot of people actually do not put descriptions of their job duties or their accomplishments in the experience section. So I don't know why people would write their job title and then that's it, because this is the place where you get to sell yourself and talk about your accomplishments. It's very much like a resume. You might not have as much information as a resume. Some people will write a description of the company and not a description of anything they did there. So my advice is just write what you did, write what you accomplished, and make sure it's there in the experience blurbs. I don't say that you have to have bullets there, but I think you have to have something. And bullets are often the easiest thing to read unless your prose is very, very engaging and sharp. And so the bullets just make it easier for the reader to see, did boom, 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 boom.
Should it be less bullets the further back in your history?
Yes, definitely. Because if you're relying on the back history to make yourself interesting, then you're in trouble. You know, you want to have a more recent experience be the biggest highlight. And I don't think you have to have a description of – you don't even have to put on your job from 20 years ago unless
mm-hmm.
it's significant and relevant to what you're looking for now. You don't have to put every single thing you've ever done, just like you don't have to on a resume.
Is it okay to have...
Ellen? Oh,
yeah.
We do have one hand raised. Do you want,
okay.
to, you want to take the call now?
Sure.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute Krista. And for anyone else who has a question, it's *2 to raise your hand. So go ahead, Krista.
Hi, Brenda. It seems like are you going through something like a blog posting? Like, I'm following along, but it seems like you're referencing something in front of you. Could you repeat what you have in front of you so I can follow along as well?
Sure. Is there a way for me to just post to get this link posted to the group?
Yeah, we can do that. The other thing is that on the webcast page, we do have a link to your blog. So if this is a recent
right.
blog posting,
this
people could...
This might be easier. Let me just submit...
Yeah, I am on your blog right now.
Well, if you go to articles by Brenda Bernstein in the categories.
Yes.
And then I think it's the last one. I think it's the first one that I wrote. But I'm just submitting the URL as well. Carol, did you get that?
Let me take a look. You put it in the Q&A
uh-huh.
box? Okay, hang on for a second.
Okay, I'm there.
Oh, yeah, I do see it. So I'll actually, I'm going to put this as I'm going to actually change the link in real time on the webcast page so it'll go right to this article.
Okay.
So.
We're almost done with it, of course. But.
That's all right. People will want to see it, so that's good.
I'm there now. Thanks.
Sure. Okay. So were there any other questions about the employment?
Oh, is there what is the feeling about having gaps? Is it better to fill in a gap, or if it's something that doesn't relate to your objective now, should you leave it out?
I would fill in the gap.
Fill in the gap.
That's my mm-hmm. opinion about it. Yeah, because people will be wondering, just like on a resume. Like if you took time off to be a mom, then write that you took time off to be a mom.
Really?
Yep.
That's a refreshing change.
Yeah. The next thing that people often leave out are the degree that they got in their educational institution or the activities, if there are any significant activities they did. And again, if you went to school 40 years ago, you know, you might not need the activities that you did in college. But the degree is important. And if you didn't get a degree, there's a way that I recommend to handle that where you just write in the degree section, you just write coursework.
Mm.
So instead of just being blank with a comma, you at least have something there and people understand you don't have a degree. I mean, you're not going to hide not having a degree mm-hmm. by just leaving it blank or not putting a school there at all. You know, they're going to raise the questions. So my take on that is just address it directly, say coursework instead of the BA or whatever, and then put the subject matter of the coursework where you would put your major, or if you had a major, that was would probably be the area of your coursework. And then applications. These are a lot of cool applications that LinkedIn has that people can use. You can do all kinds of things. You can attach your resume to your LinkedIn profile. You can attach, if you look on my profile, I have samples of work that I have up on my website. Those are also in my LinkedIn profile. That's all through an application called Box.net, and it's free. You can recommend reading. You know, I had the people I did a review for is an author, and she wasn't using the Amazon.com application where she could actually put as her recommended reading her book. Like, you know, things like that are pretty clear. And you can recommend any kind of books that you're reading. I think in that area you could even recommend a great novel if that's what you're into. But then also any books that you've been reading about in your industry can impress the people who are looking. Oh, look, she's really brushing up on her skills if she's recommending this book. You can report on your travel. I don't travel a lot for my work, but I do have on there right now through the application TripIt that I'm going to be traveling to the Midwest, the Fall Midwest Fall Business Expo in October, my next work-related travel, which I think is a nice thing to have there.
Mm.
Other applications, if you have a blog or even if you want to link to a blog that you read regularly that you think is important for your industry, you can link to a blog, either through the WordPress application or through the blog link application. And there's a few more. So go into the applications, check out all of them. There aren't that many that you can't check out all of them, and see which ones will work for you with your goals and your profile. So those are the ones that I wrote. This is really after I had just started doing, I think I had done almost 20 free reviews at the time that I wrote this. Yeah. And so since then, I've done quite a few more, and there's more things that I've come up with. And a lot of my tips are in my blog. If you look under, it's also under Articles by Brenda Bernstein, or you can click on the LinkedIn category. So another mistake I see people making is in their headline, which is just the most basic thing about who you are and one of the first things people see is at the top of your profile. It's just being boring and bland in that section. So it'll say, you know, marketing director and maybe the name of the company. And then you're going, okay, so what makes you any different than any other marketing director? Why should I read any further from marketing director? So my advice there is to write something like a tagline saying really what you have to offer. And that's different for everybody. And often if you look at what you've written in the rest of your profile and the achievements that you've listed, you'll probably find what it is. So I often will suggest taglines for people when I do the reviews. So that's one thing. And I just saw that on my article there's question marks in some places where there should be a... My whole... we had a technical issue come up in my on my blog, and it changed all my apostrophes to question marks, and I had to go through them one by one and change them back. So I just saw there's one in this article, so my apologies. And then the other thing that people don't utilize is the status bar. It's a little like the link in, like the Facebook status bar, where you just sort of report on your current status all day, or even like the Twitter bar where you just type about what's going on. And in LinkedIn, I don't recommend that you say, "Oh, you know, ready for a nap." You know, that's the kind of thing you see on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But on LinkedIn, I would recommend writing. I use it to say I'm offering these profile reviews, or I just posted a blog on this topic, or I'm working on this project, or I'm, you know, reading about this, or I went to a networking event today, or, you know, so things like that. You get to report and show that you're active in your business, in your community. So that use that bar, because, I mean, why not?
Yes.
There. So
yeah, because Brenda and I are connected, that what she wrote in her update came up on my profile page.
Right.
So it is like a nice, you know, promotion,
mm-hmm.
and a nice reminder to people in our network.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that, Carol?
I don't do it as often as I should. LinkedIn is probably the one that I go to the least in terms of the social media tools. I'm just not on there that much. I tend to go more to Facebook or to Twitter.
Mm.
So, but I know what you're saying about the status update, because it's a reminder of what you're doing and what value you might have to offer to other people.
Sure. So those are really my top my top pieces of advice on the LinkedIn profiles.
That was excellent.
Probably more, but
I have a lot of errors on my LinkedIn profile. I should hire you to do that. If you want to contact Brenda, you know, you can go through her website, the essayexpert.com, right, Brenda?
Yep.
And you can contact her through there if you'd like to hire her to look at your LinkedIn profile. Is there anything else you want to say about that before we open it up to the Q&As?
Just thinking there's a few more sections of the profile that I could go through if you want.
Well, it's quarter to the hour.
Yeah, if there's questions.
Yeah.
Questions, and if not, I have more things I can say. So.
Okay. Carol, you want to go over the questions?
So I'm going to go ahead and take everyone off of mute. Does that sound good? Ellen?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, so the lines are open now, and let's just see if anyone has a question from the audience. Anyone have a specific question for Brenda? Someone's in a little bit of a noisy place. I can hear that. So if you're a little bit in a noisy place, you want to do a star six. And if you have a question, this is your chance to actually get some free advice and consulting from someone who does this a lot. Can you hear that too, Ellen? There's like a little
yeah.
background noise.
Yeah, like a motor running.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a question. This is Krista.
Hi, Krista.
Hi.
We might want to mute everyone but Krista.
Mm-hmm. Let me do that right now. Okay, go ahead.
If I told you I wanted to set up a, quote, basic LinkedIn profile, what elements would you say that I have to have? Because we went through a lot of different things and a lot of things to check, and I want to go back and edit things now after all the helpful advice you offered. But I also was the person that asked the question about what if you want to change your profile?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
We can get to that later. But, I mean, I guess a question that I had after listening to you go through your pointers was is there such thing as a basic LinkedIn profile, or better to have no profile at all?
Yeah, I mean, of course, but I don't think it takes that much to actually fill it out 100%. So why would you not do the 100%?
Like the recommendations. Not that I don't see value in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's just other things I'm working on between, you know, updating my resume and things like that. And so, I mean, I don't right now for my needs, I don't know that I need the recommendations. I probably do, and, you know, I'll definitely get value out of it. But
yeah, I mean, I would go ahead and complete a profile even if you don't have recommendations. I think it's better to have one up there as long as what you do have there is done well.
Okay.
And let me see if I can address your other question is very, might be a longer conversation, but I don't think I would worry too much. So you have a job now?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to repeat the question for the other callers?
Yeah, my question was around her thoughts about changing your profile on LinkedIn. I understand the concept of keeping your image that you put out there consistent, you know, across different sites, and as far as what you're looking for, I think that was one of the first things Brenda said. But what if, like my situation, I'm thinking of changing careers, and I'm, you know, looking into different industries and really interested in talking to other people about what their story is. So as I as I go through this process, you know, my objectives might change, and I don't know if it's something that I should put on my profile to update it, because I'm thinking, you know, what if I'm constantly updating my profile? Is that going to be confusing for the people in my network?
I wouldn't worry about it being confusing for the people in your network. If there are people in your network at your current job and you don't want to send any, like, flags to them that you might be searching for something else, then that's another story?
Yeah, no, that's not the situation.
Okay.
I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about people that I might be talking about one thing and they say, okay, you said, you know, you wanted to be an engineer today and then tomorrow you're you know, you're interested in other things.
Well, if you change, yeah, if you change every day, you want a different career, certainly. Because you can only have one LinkedIn profile.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's it. So I think it will definitely help to be clear about what you're looking for. Now, one thing that you can do, we didn't talk about groups, so I think this is a good way to talk about groups. You can join any groups that you want, and you can hide that you are part of them. So if you're interested in all different things and you want to join the group, you can go ahead, and you could even go to your settings and turn off that people see when you join a group. Go join the group, hide them, and then you can play around as much as you want in those groups and post questions and be really active in any industries that you're curious about. You might want to do some research if you're not sure where your focus is, you might want to do some research first and then change your LinkedIn profile to match that focus.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of where I am right now, the research, but I like your advice about the groups. So I think that's probably what I'll do with next.
And it is tremendous. The resource on LinkedIn is tremendous. You post questions. You have questions about anything that relate to that group, and most likely you will get some pretty impressive answers. I mean, I've seen some really lively discussions between really smart people. So I've been impressed by the kinds of discussions that happen.
Okay. Yeah, I'll try that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got a question from Susan who asked about unmuting. Susan, I'm going to actually unmute you right now. I had put everyone back on mute except for Krista. And if you wanted to ask a question, you do a *2. But I'm going to go ahead and unmute Susan because she sent in a question. Susan?
Yes, I'm here. I put a profile out there, and it needs a lot of work. And I was doing it piecemeal, but I didn't like the fact that it kept updating everybody in my network that I had changed this, I had changed that. So actually, I stopped updating it until I thought I could do it all at one time. Do you know, is there a way that I can not notify everybody when I change my job description or whatever it might be?
I believe there is. I'm just going to, if you go to Edit Contact Settings, let me see.
I'm sorry, Edit what?
I'm checking out right now. No, it's not Edit Contact Settings. Hold on. Let me see where it is. Accounts and settings. And then you have, there's so many, here we go. Status, visibility. Here we go. Did you go to accounts and settings?
Yes.
Account and settings, and then under privacy settings, there's one that says profile and status update.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I did have another question. I am not currently looking for employment, but I am trying to, well, when I'm ready, get the word out that I've started a new business and what I offer and how I might fit in and things like that. So do you, along those lines, do you have anything to offer on the profile?
As long as it's not an issue like a conflict with your current employer. You know,
Oh, no, it is not. You're right, but it is not.
Okay. Yeah, just put it out there. you know, and write it well. And when you write your summary, write it about your new business. When you write your headline, you know, write it about who you are with the new business. That's what you're up to now. I mean, that's what I did. I only really started putting out my business on LinkedIn in April. And here already I'm on this call. There's another person interviewing me for employmentdigest.net. It's just put it out there. And the other thing I'd recommend is blogging. What's the industry or what's the business that you want to start?
It's a research business, providing business information to small businesses, medium-sized businesses, kind of to answer the question, you know, if I only had this, I could make a better decision, and I can. I've had the resources to provide that information to companies.
Yeah, so my other advice would be that at least on a weekly basis, which is what I've been doing, write some kind of informative, have a blog, post it to LinkedIn, post it to all your groups, so that you're really out there and people start to see you over and over and over again.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Networking, the first rule of networking is give things away. Give people information. I started by giving away free LinkedIn profile reviews and also these articles that I've been writing about how to write a LinkedIn profile. So giving that stuff away, you start to position yourself as someone who is knowledgeable and talented, and people start to come to you.
Thanks, Brenda. Do you want me to throw in the question now from Dan Ellen?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, okay. So the question for Brenda is, I'm in marketing, and each of my accomplishments was that of a team of individuals, including me. While I may have been the leader of the team, I feel uncomfortable claiming the accomplishment as my own when I know that other former team members may view my profile. How does one resolve this dilemma?
One way is to talk to the former team members. Maybe you can all recommend each other. You know, it can actually be quite collegial. I don't really see a conflict there. And I think the question maybe is about, maybe on your resume you get to say, handled this, this, and the other thing, but you really worked as a team doing it. So it might mean changing around the wording of that particular point to say, you know, worked with a team of ... to, if you led the team, say you led the team. If you didn't lead the team, don't say you led the team. But I think it would be a pretty easy thing to finesse, and of course I'd be happy to help with that on an individual basis.
Thanks, Brenda.
You're welcome.
So if you have a question for Brenda, just press star 2, which is to raise your hand, and I'll unmute you. So any other questions out there?
Do you have any more, Carol?
I guess I have a question just in terms of how you see LinkedIn being used with other social media tools. Do you have a strategy around that?
I really have been using LinkedIn almost exclusively. I'm almost the opposite of you.
Oh.
Sometimes I'll post something to Facebook or Twitter, but I haven't really focused there. I think when you're one person, it's hard to do all of it at once. There's one application called ping.fm where
mm-hmm.
you can send your updates to all your sites.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been using that, I think, because it wasn't working on Facebook. And so I don't think I'm an expert on how all three work together.
Mm.
But they can, certainly, and you can put the same update on all of them, the Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. You can probably send people from Twitter to LinkedIn. If you post a discussion or a topic on LinkedIn, then you can probably Twitter it for people who are LinkedIn members. But, yeah, I think that would be a bigger – that would probably be an entire hour if I really did get all of that down, but I wouldn't say that's an area.
I just find that my my habits among the three are a bit haphazard. And so I don't have a systematic way of working those three together in concert. It's kind of where I ended up on a certain day.
Yeah.
You know, because people will send you a message through LinkedIn, then you go to LinkedIn, and then you start – I know I start to look at the updates just automatically. Or it'll be the same thing with Facebook. Someone will send me something through Facebook, and so it causes me to go there. So I don't actually have, I'll say, a habit or a routine that really is more purposeful.
Yeah, I tend to have more of my friendly conversations on Facebook. That's how I do it. I do actually have two Facebook profiles. One of them is more of my essay expert one, and the other one is just my friends one. But I haven't really concentrated on building that, on building the business one, because my focus really has been almost exclusively on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Been successful for me, so I'm sticking with it.
I think most people use Facebook that way. I know I just use it for personal friendships.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who've had business success through Facebook as well, and just not the route that I took for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like when honestly, I don't like it when people start trying to sell me stuff on Facebook.
I mean,
Yeah. So we're almost at the hour, and if there's no questions, I'd just like to close by asking you how you would recommend people learn more about LinkedIn.
That's a good question. There are books, you know, there's whole books on how to use LinkedIn. Definitely read my articles. I think I think they're really useful. And
yes.
People have really liked them.
Yes.
There's
it's one of the reasons I asked you to speak. Yeah, I think your content is excellent.
Yeah, I think there's a website called it used to be LinkedInTuition.com. Let me see if it's still that. Yeah, there's a website called LinkedInTuition.com. LinkedInTuition. I think they're a good site with a lot of good information, and they have all their archives from the postings back to January 2008. So I wouldn't use this as an example of brilliant writing, but I'm like, oh, let me get my hands on these blogs, you know, I could really work with these, but it is really good information.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a place to start.
Very good.
Yeah, there's ebooks as well that you can get.
So there's no specific book or ebook that you'd recommend over the others, writers.
The guy that wrote the ebook that I looked at, which I think was very useful and also not that well written, but still very useful, was Nathan Kievman, Kievman. And I thought that – I know he partnered with the guy who's on this LinkedIn tuition site, but I don't know if the book is here. But that might be like linked strategies or something. Let me try that.
Well, that might be a good blog for you.
About good resources?
Yeah.
Maybe.
One thing I did is put the LinkedIn personal trainer on my Google homepage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get the titles of his blogs, and then if I'm interested, I click through. But I've certainly learned a lot tonight, and I hope everybody else has. And again, you can talk to Brenda by contacting her through her website.
Oh, you know what? Go to Nathan Kiesman's LinkedIn profile.
Mm-hmm.
And under his website, his LinkedIn to marketing book is there.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry to interrupt you, but
no problem.
Now I'm doing. Okay.
And I just want to thank you very much for
being
our guest.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I'm sure we'll keep in touch. And I'll use more of your content on our, you know, networking naturally also. But Brenda's going to be joining us in October, Carol.
Oh, terrific.
Taking the program. And
oh, excellent.
Joining the site. So everyone can interact with her, too, on the beta site. So thank you very much, and I'll say good night now, and you can stop the tape, Carol.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you all soon, I hope.
Okay, thanks, everybody.